Nothing. Mike. Oh man, I have to put it really close to my mouth. Okay. Mic test. All right. Good afternoon to all of you. It's always a wonderful pleasure to be up here. It's always I treat this a wonderful privilege. So I thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to preach. I'm just reminded of my lovely daughter this morning while we're doing our devotions that I speak too fast. So I have to slow down. So if we miss lunch or dinner, I mean, no, we'll finish in time. As you know, we are in the sermon series in the Songs of Ascent. If you were here with us last Sunday or were able to watch it online, Brother Matt Reynolds did awesome work on the introduction of the Songs of Ascent. Anyway, just a brief recap. The Songs of Ascent are songs sung by the Israelites who are traveling to Jerusalem to attend their three annual pilgrimage festivals, which are Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Booths, or Tents. Jerusalem is located uphill, so the pilgrims must go up. So thus the name to ascend, and the name Songs of Ascents. It is a collection of 15 chapters in the Psalm from 120 to 134. And I don't know how it all worked out, but it almost coincides with our pastor's sabbatical. 15 sermons? Oh, 15 chapters, 14 sabbatical weeks. So someone up here is going to do two chapters in one Sunday to complete it, you know, but we don't have to. Today, we are in Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is one of the well-known Songs of Ascents, or even in the whole book of Psalms. Your Bible probably has a heading that says, "My help comes from the Lord," or "The Lord is my helper." It is indeed, we all need help, right? Just like the Israelites' pilgrimage to Jerusalem, how do we navigate this journey called life? This is not our home. We are just passing through. Where do we look when troubles come? Where is our confidence when we are presently facing dangers or disasters? Where do we call for help? I pray that this chapter will be an encouragement to us all as we cling to our Savior, Deliverer, Helper, Keeper. The question we ask, therefore, is not where to look, but who to look at when life is hard, when times are tough. Let's read Psalm 121. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Word of the Lord, before we can continue, let us pray. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for the good of your people and for the glory of your name. Amen. So the main idea I have for this sermon is, the Lord is our helper and keeper. Therefore, the faithful can have confidence in this life's journey and sing his unending care. The Lord is our helper and keeper. Therefore, the faithful can have confidence in this life's journey and sing his unending care. The structure of the song is parallelism. You can see it when you read this psalm. As some of the songs of ascents are meaning parallel, they go to the same direction. When successive words or phrases say the same thing in different ways, they want to emphasize an idea. So we see verses 1 and 2 are connected, 3 and 4 parallel to each other, and so are 5 and 6, and then 7 and 8. I have the song outlined in two main points, very simple, as the main idea goes. The first point is, the Lord is my helper, found in verses 1 and 2. And the second point is, the Lord is my keeper, found in verses 3 to 8. In the second point, I have three sub-points, then three applications. It's easy to follow. 2, 3, 3. First point, the Lord is my helper. We've all been there, right? We go on a journey, travel, driving, flying hundreds, thousands of miles to get to our destination. Whether it be for business or vacation, personal or sabbatical, sometimes you just want to get away from the usual hustle and bustle of your daily routine. Nobody likes staycation, right? For the Israelites, during this time, this psalm was written, as I mentioned earlier, they have to travel to Jerusalem in this unpaved, dusty, uphill road. Just imagine yourself as one who is about to go on this journey. You are still on the low-level plane, and you begin to track your steps, right? You're tracking your steps, and then you see your eyes start looking higher and higher, higher and higher, and then you say, wait a minute, this is higher than I expected. Then you look at yourself. You probably are 30, 40-year-old with your niece having an 80-year-old from working in the fields. You have your family with you. You have your children. Some may be toddlers. Some may be your teenagers who constantly fight. Of course, your luggage. You have to bring your luggage, right? That weighs a ton. You became discouraged. Suddenly, the journey becomes unbearable. This is what the Psalter, or the author of the psalm, was experiencing as he wrote this. Verse 1 says, I lift my eyes to the hills, or mountains in some translation. Most often, but not all the time, as we will see in the end of this sermon, in biblical literature, hills or mountains are symbolized as an obstacle, or a problem, or a hindrance. I lift my eyes to the hills. The Psalter is already seeing the dangers from within or inside of him, his physical strength or lack thereof, or about his emotional state, being dismayed, dejected, deflated, seeing the enormous task at hand. And even spiritual discouragement. Some commentators even said that there were a lot of false idol worships on the road going to Jerusalem. These are the dangers from within. And how about the dangers from without or outside of him? How about the weather? It is hot, humid, scorching heat, sometimes torrential rain pouring down on you. And then let's not forget the thieves and the robbers who takes advantage of this opportunity. The Apostle Paul experienced this in 2 Corinthians 11. With all these experiences, the Psalter then asks, from where does my help come? Where does my help come? But without missing a beat, he exclaimed, my help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. See, this is what I like with the author, with the Psalter, is that when trouble arises, he went to the Lord first. This has to be true to us. When trials come, we must go to God first and foremost. But if we are honest with ourselves, where do we go when troubles arise? We look to ourselves, right? You know, you say, I can do this. I'm capable of this. I'm equipped with this. Especially now in this society where dependency is seen as a weakness and self-sufficiency is emulated, it is difficult. The pressure is on. So oftentimes we are drawn to it. We love the self-made millionaires and billionaires out there. We idolize the independent, free-willed, I don't follow any norms. Those people on the internet and TV. So that's what we do. You know, first tendency when troubles come is to face it on our own. And what happened? Oftentimes we fail. We fail. So what do we do next? We look to others. We look to our family, to our friends, our support group, our barcadas. We go to self-help books and other forms of media, TED Talk. We go to our phones before we go to the throne, right? Sadly, these others fail as well. We only go to God as our last resort. We must change our approach. Let us go to God first and foremost. My help comes from the Lord. Let us go to Him in prayer. Father, You are my rock, my redeemer, my ever-present help in times of trouble. Wait and see. The Lord will empower you. He will sustain you. He will help you persevere in these trying times. God helps those who cannot help themselves. Is He going to remove these problems or thorns of flesh within me? Maybe yes, maybe no. But remember always that God is with us during these difficult times. We may not know why these things are happening to us or what His purposes are at the moment, but we can be sure that it is for our good. Remember as well that God is both able and willing to help. God is both able and willing to help. He is not, you know, willing but unable like Santa Claus, or unwilling but able like Ebenezer Scrooge. He is both able and willing to help. The Lord will never cast out or drive away those who come to Him, no matter who you are and what you have done. All we have to do is fall down on our knees like the leper in Mark 1 in our scripture reading and plead to the Lord, help, help me. Jesus' response will always be, I will be clean. Look also at the spelling of the Lord here. It is all caps, L, capital L, capital O, R, and D. This is the covenant name of the Lord, Yahweh. He is a covenant-keeping God. This means that the promises of preservation and redemption He made to our forefathers are as good as done. You can bank on it. This means that His promises of preservation, He will see it through. We may be weeping through the night, but joy will eventually come in the morning, and that should be our confidence. And what's the primary role that the Psalter used of God here? He's what? He is the Creator, right? Who made the heaven and earth. The Creator, Lord of heaven and earth, is my helper. Wow, we should rest in this. What more can we ask? The one who made these physical hills and mountains, and more so, the one who allowed these figurative hills and mountains of trouble and despair, is our helper. Our God, He is sovereign over all. Nothing escapes from His wisdom and judgment. Even the wiles and the schemes that Satan can do to us are allowed only to a certain point. Our enemy is on a leash. What he meant evil to us, God will turn it for good. This should be our confidence. God is my helper. Next, second point is that the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my keeper. In the key word in verses 5 to 8 is keep. We can see these words, keeper, five times in these verses. The Lord is my keeper. Friends, he's not only your helper, he's also your keeper, and I love that. We see also here that there's a shift of pronouns. Verses 1 and 2 are first-person pronouns, I and my. And when you look at 3 to 8, you can see there's a second and third-person pronouns, your, he. The word keep in verses 3 and 4 means that the Lord owns and manages or looks after us. First sub-point is that the Lord is my keeper, manager, or keeper, overseer. I remember watching a movie long ago in which the actor Al Pacino, he's portrayed as a devil in human form, and he kept debating with Keanu Reeves. He's also a lawyer. And his main argument was saying that God created us, but he abandoned us, and that we are on our own. He kept shouting, absentee landlord, absentee landlord. I was like, man, wow, this devil in his lies, and this is absolutely not true. God is the creator, sustainer, as the song goes, of infants and kings. He's the giver of grace. The Lord who keeps us, manages us, and looks after us will not let your foot be moved. He will prevent us from slipping and falling down on our faces. Sometimes as we walk on this journey, we feel deserted, abandoned. We feel alone. We feel that the love of God is far away from us. We feel his absence, or we feel that the fire inside of us is quenched. We think of quitting, letting go, running away from our faith. But the Lord, he will never abandon us. He will never quit on us. In him, we are on steady ground. We are standing on the rock. He will help us persevere in difficult times. It's like the poem, Footprints in the Sand. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's very popular in the 80s. It was being played in the radio in the Philippines almost again and again and again. So for those who are not familiar, the Footprints on the Sand, the author was questioning the Lord, why in the beginning, during the good times, there were two sets of footprints as they were walking along the beach. One from him and one from the Lord. But then during the difficult times, there was only one footprint. So the author asked the Lord, why would you leave me in my lowest, saddest times? But then the Lord's response was, no child, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Deuteronomy 1:31 said that in the wilderness, the Lord will carry us as a man carries his son. It also says there that the Lord never sleeps or slumbers. And that is a relief for us. We've seen so many movies wherein the enemy attacks the castle or the troops when the guards, when they are sleeping. And that's not so with the Lord. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support for those whose heart is blameless toward him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. We can sleep soundly because our Lord watches over us. He never sleeps. He has eternal insomnia. And moving on in verses 5 and 6, the Lord is our keeper, like he is our protector. The second sub-point is that the Lord is our keeper, protector. He is our shade. He is our cover. He is our shelter. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91:1. He is our refuge, our fortress, our strong tower. In him only we are secured. Now, this verse reminds me of Exodus 13, when the Lord provided a pillar of cloud for the Israelites by day and a pillar of fire in the night. Remember, they are in the desert. Scorching heat in the day, biting cold in the night. Nevertheless, they had 24/7, 365 protection. And so are we. If you place your faith and trust in Jesus, you also have this total protection. The Lord covers His children in the shadow of His wings. We are sunscreened. Not the S-U-N, but the spelling is S-O-N. The Lord keeps us, in verses 7 and 8, as our defender. The third sub-point is that the Lord is our keeper, defender. The Lord is our keeper, defender. The Lord will keep us, defend us from all evil. Remember the story when in Luke 22, right before Jesus foretold Peter of his denial of him, Jesus said that Satan demanded to have Peter so he might sift him like wheat. But what did Jesus do? He prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail. So also with us, Jesus continues to intercede for us to the Father. We have confidence and full assurance of this, that the Lord keeps, defends, and guards our lives. Jesus said that no one can snatch us out of His hand. Our salvation is safe and secure from all alarms. Not only that, our movements, whether we go out or come in, remember this is a pilgrim song, so whether they go out to Jerusalem or go back to their homes, they are safe. For us, whether we stay in our location or go abroad, some of us to a mission field, some, I would pray, will have this calling to go abroad to the distant, farthest place that Jesus' name will be made known. They are secured. They will be secured. That's why this psalm is a favorite among the missionaries. This going out and coming in can also mean that from the time we are born to the time of our death, the children of God are watched over by the Heavenly Father from the cradle to the grave. Not a hair can fall from our heads without God's intent. Moreover, this going out and coming in may mean just simple as we go out of our houses and come back. The mundane, the routine, the day-to-day. We go to work. Our children, our kids go to school and the other going outs. We just need that help, right? That protection, that safety. For me, as a nurse, this is how I take this psalm. I take this psalm personally. I don't know how busy my shift will be or what kind of workload that I'll be facing that night. I think that's the beauty and the dread of nursing. It's the unpredictability. Not knowing until you're there, you know. I have been in this profession for 24 years. And counting, and I still feel the anxiety. But I hold on to this truth. Where does my help come? Help comes from the Lord. And I like this next part. The Lord keeps us from this time forth and forevermore. There is no time limit from the Lord's protection for those who are His. The preservation of God's elect that we have seen throughout the Scriptures is also with us from now to eternity. For us believers, this is our hope, our confidence, and our rest. Now, how do we apply this truth in our lives, knowing that the Lord is our helper, keeper? How can we make this real? Famous boxer, I'm reminded of it, he said that, you know, we can all have these plans. We can all have these plans until you get punched in the face. So what are we going to do, you know? How do we apply this? Three simple points. First, lean wholly to the Lord. Lean wholly to the Lord. It is only when we acknowledge our weaknesses, when we recognize our vulnerability, or when we admit that we are not all that strong, all that wise, and that we're not able to help ourselves on our own. that God's power will fill us. My grace is sufficient for you, Jesus said, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Scottish pastor in the 1800s, Robert Murray McShane, said, for every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. Let us lean our all to Jesus and acknowledge our dependence on him. As the old hymn goes, oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. And this connects as well to the second application, which is to learn regularly to sing God's truth. Learn regularly to sing God's truth. This is a song, right? This psalm is a song. We are in the songs of ascent. We then have to have a collection of songs or hymns that we can run to, that we can go to, that we can listen to, or better yet, sing. Sing when times are tough. Remember the prophet Habakkuk? He did this. Despite him knowing the destruction that awaits Israel, he was resolved and put into song that last chapter, the chapter 3, that God would make good his promise of preservation and restoration of his people. So should we. We have to learn to sing, especially when we are struggling, when we are in the dark. I know it's hard. I tried it. You know, it's easy to sing heartbroken songs when you're heartbroken, but try singing praises when your heart is broken. It is difficult. One of the songs that says, sing, oh, sing through the raging storm. We face that storm, we sing. And why do we sing? Because singing changes our perspective. It cements gospel truths to our hearts and minds. Singing reminds us of the past, of God's faithfulness to us, as it will also help us confirm the future ever more clearly, as the bride will eventually see her bridegroom at the great fiesta of the Lamb. We will feast in the house of Zion. And what's in there, aside from the food? There will be shouts of joy. There will be singing, you know? So we are here. We're still here in this world. Let's do our dress rehearsal. Let's start singing. Singing to the top of your voice. Sing songs to your heart. Sing it loud. Sing of his never-ending care. Sing of our dependence on him. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Third and last is look entirely to the Lord. Look entirely to the Lord. Where do we look? The Bible, right? God's word. The Bible paints a wonderful, complete, beautiful picture of our Savior, Jesus. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you what? You grow, grow, grow. As we look exclusively to the Lord, we look less and less to others and to ourselves. We become what we behold. The more we look to the Lord, the more that we will become like him. Remember the first part of the chapter when the Psalter lifted up his eyes to the hills? And that looking there is not accidental. It's not passive. I mean, he was diligently searching, actively surveying his situation. So should we. We have to look intently where our help comes from. Look longingly where our salvation comes from. And remember when the Psalter looked to the hills, what happened? He was discouraged. He was afraid of the hills that was filled with troubles and dangers and uncertainties. Now, there's a famous hill in the New Testament where we can look and not be discouraged or be filled with fear, but rather the opposite. We can be joyful, hopeful, and confident. This is the hill of Calvary, the place where the cross of Christ was laid, where mercy, love, and justice met. The place where our helper, redeemer, the keeper of our souls, laid down his life for us. This hill we can stare at. This cross we can gaze. And this Jesus we can behold. Look to Jesus. Look. 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 Until we have nothing to do but to look and live. Let us pray. Be thou our vision, O Lord, of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Indeed we pray, Lord, that Christ will be our vision. Help us now in this journey, in this life, to have this confidence in whatever situation we are in, knowing that you are our helper, our keeper, from this time forth and forevermore.